And let's all stand as we read Galatians chapter 5 this morning. It says in verse 7, "Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump." Leaven in the Bible was always in a negative sense, a picture of sin. As it spreads, you've heard of leaven being used in bread to be able to have it rise. You have to have yeast in there to make it rise. But leaven, in a spiritual sense, is bad. And we're going to study that this morning, a little leaven. Heavenly Father, bless as the preaching goes forth. Have your will done in each life, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 as well. The book of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Now, I take it everybody has their cell phones off. Don't want any attention being taken from the message. Anybody watching any cell phones or texting or anything else going on, you see anybody that does, you just let me know. We want to honor God in our church. We want to study the Word and have wisdom within our lives. 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 6. He talks about a man that was in the church and he was committing fornication. And they kicked him out of the church in verse 5. "To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit and the may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are leavened, or unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So, you see, as I said, that leaven is used as an example of ungodliness, sin, in the Bible. And the warning is given over and over again. In these two instances, one to Galatia and once to Corinth. Watch out! Just a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. It'll spread. Just a little sin in your life, you think not much of it. The warning goes out. A little leaven's going to leaven the whole lump. Little insignificant things we have in life, we think nothing about them. It means something to God. There's things that he's not pleased with within our life. We need to take the warning and look at them and get it out of our life. Leaven. The word zume. It means to ferment, to boil up. Things that are like that in the world. You just let a little thing go and it gets big. A lot of times when you have a problem with something, especially Brother Jim would know about this being a mechanic, you got a little thing that you hear, a rubbing or a squealing or something going on in your car, and you just turn up the radio so you don't hear it and keep on driving it. No. If you let that go, it's going to cost you thousands of dollars because it gets bigger and it affects more things. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Just this minute fungi. It germinates. It multiplies with starch and sugar. And it ferments and it corrupts. And he, in context there in 1 Corinthians, he was talking about the Lord's Supper. He was talking about that sin of that man in church. He said, purge out that old leaven. In other words, he's got to leave the church. You can't let that go. There has to be church discipline when there's somebody that's causing strife, divisions, and living in sin, and they weren't doing anything about it. And that's why he said there, your glorying is not good. In other words, you're just going to let it go and just act like it never happened and all this kind of stuff. No. God wants a pure church. God wants a holy people. As we gather together as sheep to be fed. And so the shepherd feeds us. Don't let things go within your life. Go over to Ecclesiastes chapter 8. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 8. I hope you're doing what I said and coming to church properly. How many things do you need to bring to church?
Three.
What is it?
Three.
You bring a Bible. You bring a pen. You bring an offering. Then you can worship God properly. If you brought those three things, praise God. God pleases that. And so we need to honor him. We need to worship him. So take that pen that you have so you can outline important verses in the Bible. I want you to call your attention to verse 11. Ecclesiastes 8:11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore, the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You probably heard the saying, you need to catch it in the bud. Mm-hmm. Don't let things go. You got to deal with it. Over the 30 years that I've been here as pastor, I've had to deal with people that got out of hand. We're just going to do what they wanted to do rather than do what God said in the Bible. They're no more with us, to say the least. I'm not going to have one person or two people, whatever, or many, spoil and split a church, cause division in the church, cause problems. No. God never said, blessed are the troublemakers. Amen. He said, blessed are the peacemakers. Huh? And so that's what we need to do too. No, you just don't do what you want to do. You think of others. We that have joined the church, we've agreed that we're going to live for the Lord as we live for one another. We are His bride. It's not to be a spoiled bride. It's not to be a wicked bride. But we're supposed to be pure. White linen we're going to be clothed with, it tells us, does it not? I want to show you three things this morning, quickly, I hope. Places where there's leaven and it needs to be taken out. I want to show you in government. I want to show you in the church. And I want to show you in the home. Ezekiel chapter 45, if you would, please. The book of Ezekiel chapter 45. Just before Daniel. If you don't have the books of the Bible memorized, you need to get to it. Then you'll be able to follow along in the messages. You need to know the Word of God. It's the most important book in your whole life. You need to know it like the back of your hand. That's all we study around here. Ezekiel chapter 45 and in verse 9. He's talking of Israel. He says, thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel. Remove violence and spoil and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. Talking about the government situation, those that are in power over us. They are to guide and lead us correctly. Now, we're not in a monarchy with a king and so forth, as Israel was. Israel and Judah and all of the other countries. As we're reading through the Bible in a year, boy, this last week, you learned about a lot of kings, for sure. And, of course, you would in the book of Kings. And it'll be the same in the book of Chronicles as well. But we have a power that's split up into three sections, okay, in America. And that's where we get our government. And then smart, wise people go and vote for the one that they've checked out, and that would lead us right and lead us back to God. Right. Be a holy people, a right people. And so that's why we have our elections and everything, and we have, again, troublemakers, even in our government, even in our land, that will affect the voting that goes on. And the wrong person will get voted in. When that is not taken care of, people have let that go. The Board of Elections and so forth, and all kinds of wicked things bring fraud into our land. God's against all of that kind of stuff. God is a God of truth. He wants truth to be known, not lies, not cover-ups. He says right there, not violence. Hey, take care of the violence. Do what you have to do. So what's America do? Oh, we're going to defund the police. Oh yeah, that'll happen. That'll really be smart. Take the ones that are supposed to stop the violence. Yeah, don't give them money. Let's go ahead and get less police officers, right? Yeah, wrong thing to do. Obviously, we've got a lot of leaven in our government.
Yes, sir.
We got corruption. That's what leaven does. It corrupts. That's why we're supposed to purge out the leaven, is what it says. One lie after another. You got the Social Security system that would take care of older folks and so forth. They're trying to take all of the money out of that. So even we that are older and not working anymore, we have to rely on that to continue on day to day. They want to take that money out. They want to raid Social Security. Yet they sit back and they let the liquor trade take over everything in our land. Yeah. As a matter of fact, they don't think it's so bad. They license it and they sell it at the corner. The psychiatrists come out, oh, well, that's a sickness. Yeah, it's a sickness that it's licensed and you can buy it down at the corner store. You're selling disease, is that right? Yeah. God hates liquor because it takes over your body. Your body is His. It doesn't belong to you. He's bought that with a price, it tells you very clearly in 1 Corinthians 6:19. Go to Isaiah chapter 10. Isaiah chapter 10. And in verse 1. Isaiah 10:1. Woe unto them that decree unrighteous decrees, and that write grievous which they have prescribed, to turn aside the needy from judgment. When you see the word judgment there, a lot of times it means justice. In other words, the needy need justice. And to take away the right from the poor of my people, that widows may be their prey, and that they may rob the fatherless. And what will ye do in the day of visitation? Talking about God getting involved. And in the desolation which shall come from far, to whom will you flee for help? And where will you leave your glory? Without me they shall bow down under the prisoners, and they shall fall under the slain. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. He says there's unrighteous decrees. It's hard to get justice down here. There's so much leaven. There's so much corruption in our government police system. Praise God that we've gotten rid of a lot of the bad apples out of the police department. We need to be for our police now. They need our prayers. Brother, I don't know anybody with a half a brain that would want to be a policeman today. Everybody's against them. Everybody's taking their cell phone out and taking pictures of everything that they do and try to twist it and turn it and say it's the police that did this. And see, so we got riots, we got everything going on. And then you take it to court and you don't get justice. They don't convict them, they let them go. Arrested one day and out on the street in another. Brother, that's loving. That's loving on our government. Some of you old heads, you probably remember Madeline Murray O'Hare. Anybody remember? Few of you. She was the devil incarnate. She was an atheist. Loudmouth atheist. In 1962, in the public school system, they forbid prayer. In 1963, the same year I graduated, in 1963, Madeline Murray O'Hare, when she took her son to the public school, she saw the Pledge to the Bible and Pledge of Allegiance and all of this and the Bible verses that were being used in certain sections, all of that. And she sued to be able to get the Bibles out of the public school. So the kids that were being sent to school, now they can't pray and they can't take their Bibles and read it. They're at school as well. She started American Atheist. And those are the ones that sued. She was a wicked woman. On and on, she was against Christians over and over. You know what God did? You know that son that she saw there in the public school and sued? His name was Bill. Bill got saved. From an atheist mother, wicked as can be, is Jezebel, and her son gets saved. Wow. Of course, she disavowed him and, you know, disowned him and did everything, you know. It finally ended up in her life, if you read about how that all happened. Some of the good old boys, they got a hold of her, how wicked she was, some of the mafia types. All of a sudden, they disappeared. Her and two other relatives. Years later, they found them in a grave. Somebody had killed them and sawed off their legs. They were so mutilated, they couldn't even find out from dental records who they were. I mean, she got her payment, I'll guarantee you. The only way they knew that it was her was that she had a hip replacement and that the number on the hip, they traveled that back and sure enough found out who it was. Wicked woman finally got her druthers, I'll guarantee you. God took care of her. Corruption. Back in the day, we had Watergate. We had Nixon as president. He was brought up as a Quaker. You know, the Friends Church type guy. Lying and stealing and cursing and everything else as our president. Vietnam was going on at that time. Then the homosexuals got going. And then the black people as well. On and on, all of this is going on. What happened? A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump, brother. Our nation's under the judgment of God. Because of a little leaven. If it was only nipped in the bud. Way back then. I want you to see also in Matthew chapter 16, please. I could go on and go on. Amen. Point out Biden. He's got a son called Hunter. Hunter Biden. Not only is his father corrupt, full of leaven, but he is too. You think there's anything done about him? No, they just let it go. Oh, they publicize it, but they don't do anything. Moving on, Matthew chapter 16. There's also leaven in the church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse 6. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. Jesus is giving the warning now. And he's talking about religion. Judaism. The Pharisees and the Sadducees. He says, watch out for them. How many times have I warned you about false religions and false prophets? That's because Jesus did. He said it's like leaven, it's going to spread. Go down to verse 12, Matthew 16, 12. Then understood they how he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Don't mess with the beliefs, the doctrine of the Bible. Don't change one word. That's loving, brother. Look at Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12 and in verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trode one upon another, he began to say unto his disciples, first of all, the warning, beware the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Hypocrites, play acting. Jesus giving warnings. He says, you watch out for that leaven. What's it do? It corrupts and it spreads. Some folks think I'm a hard preacher because I stand on all of these things and let it be known about all of that. But I want everybody to be warned. I want everybody to know the truth. I want everybody not to get near corruption, a leaven, because it'll spread on you. Look at how many churches are out here today. Think nothing of living like the world, dressing like the world, talking like the world. My Bible says in Romans 12, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Take a stand. You got churches that don't think anything of that. Kind of look the other way and smirk as somebody's in sin and all that. That's not what Jesus did. That's not what Paul did. You got the charismatic movement in churches. The misunderstanding about the spiritual gifts that were given to the first church in the apostolic period. When the Bible clearly says tongues shall cease. And sure enough, they did. Now we got play actors, that is, hypocrites, that say they're speaking in tongues and they aren't speaking in tongues. They're play acting at it. I've faced many of them that say that. Christians that are born again, but they haven't been taught the scriptures correctly. And they go ahead and brag on that thing. I put them to the test. Go ahead, speak in tongues to me. And they'll babble off something. I'll say, what language was that? And they looked at me like a calf was looking at a new gate, amen. They stare, language. Yeah. Tongues in Acts chapter 2, when it first fell on the church, they spoke in languages. What language was that? They aren't speaking tongues at all. It was for the unsaved Jew. That's a big study, but I'm just telling you, no churches take a stand on it. Yeah. And they're even on the radio, the Christian radio station around here, 97-something, I don't know what it is. And I never listened to it, but I did one day by mistake. The pastor was telling about how he spoke in tongues at home. Yeah. Calvary Chapel. Around here. Got them all around. I'm just saying that if there isn't someone that takes a stand and teaches the Word of God correctly, you're going to have all kinds of false things out. The doctrine's changed. Somebody's got to say, this is right and that's wrong. Amen. There's got to be some standards in the church. Go to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, that's where Paul and all of the other pastors came together. Had a big meeting and so forth. We won't get into that. But look at verse 27. Acts chapter 20, verse 27. Paul said, "For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God." Well, you better circle the word all. You better circle the word shunned, because that's what the problem is, folks. We've got a bunch of ministers of churches that got a lot of letters behind their names and a lot of pride, but they are not, they're shunning their responsibility of teaching the people right, preaching the Word of God. Get a lot of Bible study, get a little all of that, but you know, we won't get any preaching. And that's what we need, my friend. Apathy, we see. In the church. Just sit back and yawn and don't do anything and let other people go to hell. We see jealousy in the church. Jealous of that person, this person. We see selfishness in the church. We see lack of joy in the church. Let alone the versions, Bible versions. Not too many take a stand on KJV, King James Version. We're King James Bible only. You know, it's one thing for somebody to say, you ask them, "Oh, do you use the King James?" They'll say, "Yeah." No, you ask them wrong question. Yeah, they use it. But they don't believe it's the only Bible that is pure, without error, inerrant, infallible, the only book. They don't believe that. So what happens? Corruption, leaven. The people are faked out. "Oh, that's a King James church over there." "Oh, yeah? You better ask that question to that pastor. Just what I said. You'll get a different answer." "Oh, well, back in the Greek and the Hebrew and everything, and, we got scholars and we got the newest interpretation, and where'd you get all that?" There's only one God, and there's only one truth, and there's only one Bible. Amen. Amen. Anything else? Just a smokescreen. God hates it. It's leaven. Last thing, and I got to hurry. Go to Exodus chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. I figured if you got up early, went to all of the bother of getting dressed and everything else and coming to church and everything, that you need to hear something. I'm obliged to fill you up. Amen. Fill up the wagon, brother. Exodus chapter 12. I've showed you corruption, leaven, in the government. I've showed you leaven in the church. Now I'm going to show you leaven in the home. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day to the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. We get some leaven in our home. Some Christians' homes are a mess. You wouldn't never know it's a Christian home. Because the leaven has spread. And it wasn't dealt with speedily, as we just saw in Ecclesiastes 8:11. Didn't take care of it. You just let it go. Got problems. You got leaven in the home. Better watch what you see. Don't put something ungodly in front of your eyes. Psalm 101:2 says that. Better watch out what movies you're watching. What you're hearing. Don't let leaven in your home. You'll be sorry later. You're not going to mock God and get away with it. Go to 2 Peter chapter 1, please. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Brother, we're supposed to escape leaven. We're not to leave it around in our house, just like the Jews did back there in Exodus. Remember that leaven was a picture of sin. Jesus said so. We read it with our own eyes. We Christians need to have Christian homes. Do you have a prayer time together at home? Do you have a time where you have devotions? Do you have a time where you're reading to your children and telling them what's right and wrong. Because pretty soon they're going to grow up and they're going to get out into this mess. And they aren't going to know what to do with it. Because you let the leaven go. Your children, out of hand. They wear worldly clothes and you don't think anything of it. Girls wear mini skirts. Boys wear long hair. Boys look like girls and girls look like boys. Clothes have got anything on them. There's anger in the home. Yelling and shouting. There's rebellion in the home. The women are not in subjection. There's inconsistent discipline with the children, if there's any kind of discipline at all. There's no consideration for the rest of the family. There's only selfishness. That means there's no joy either. We need to get back to the old paths, brother.
Amen.
We need to weed out that leaven and change our homes. You don't let it go. I get so angry when I see parents I'm visiting or whatever, you know. And they'll give beer or something to a four-year-old kid and laugh and say, isn't that cute? No, that's ungodly. There isn't anything cute about sin. Wonder why the kid grows up like he does. Where's the love in the home? Mom and dad should be loving each other in front of the kids, hugging, kissing. Show affection. Need to get the loving out of our homes, friend. We see what the Bible says about it. We aren't keeping up with the Joneses. We're doing our best to keep up with what the Bible says. All of the heartbreak that has happened because of leaven and didn't purge out the old leaven and just let it go. How much do you love the Lord? You say you do. What are you going to do? What are you going to do about the leaven in the government? This November, are you going to be make sure that you're at that polling place and you put your vote? Or are you just going to let everything go and let Georgia do it? Yeah, we see the mess we're in because of that. Don't give me the superficial arguments against that, by the way. What about the church? You're in the church. The living leaven, try to bring it into this church. God wants a pure bride, unspotted from the world, is how it's said in the Bible. When we're raptured, brand new body, brand new white linen clothes forever, because we won't have a corrupt body then. And then in the home also, because everything originates from the home in society.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, I pray that we will take the preaching and instruction of your word this morning, that we will do something about it within our personal lives, our personal government, our personal schools, and in the church, and also in our homes. Help us to live for you, and to stand fast in this wicked world full of leaven. Help us to stay clean and pure for you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.